welcome to an all-new Great Moments in Weed History.
I'm so excited to be rapping at you right now. This is going to be a pretty unique episode of the podcast. More on that in a bit, but I don't want to bury the lead because there's a big headline here in the Great Moments in Weed History podcast universe, the GMI, WHPU, for those of you who are into the whole brevity thing. And that headline is as follows. I am moving on up to Potland, Oregon, not to be confused with Potland, Maine. Much love to our listeners there, but I will be on the left coast, Potland, by the time you listen to the next episode of this program, which means less than 2 weeks till moving day. A lot of excitement here, quite a bit of stress. Anybody who has ever moved from anywhere to anywhere else knows what I'm talking about. It is a world of boxes and sorting and putting things on Craigslist and working a day job and everything else in the world at once. So I wanted to come up with an episode that would be fun, that would be breezy, that would reach back out to the community of people who have been so kind in supporting this show, and that most of all is not going to require the hours and hours and hours of thoughtful production and editing that I put into a typical episode, because I gotta be honest with you, I am freaking the fuck out about getting everything done for this move. And, you know, let's just have a good time. So this is what I came up with. We did an episode about, I don't know, a year and a half ago. It was very popular. It was called Everything You Ever Wanted to Know About Weed But Were Afraid to Ask. For those of you who don't know, that's a reference to a pretty famous book from the 1970s called Everything You Ever Wanted to Know About Sex But Were Afraid to Ask. You're going to have to ask somebody else about sex, or, you know, slide into my DMs, I guess. But I'm here for your weed questions. I feel qualified to answer them. I actually went on Reddit and on the Excellent Trees forum and on a subreddit of that subreddit called Ask Trees. I just pulled some questions that either I thought were pretty important or pretty funny or pretty weird or pretty out there, or where I thought, hey, I think I can give this person some quality advice based on my experience. I'll just give you my credentials. I've been writing about cannabis for about 20 years. I started working at High Times back when it was cool. I was the co-creator of the Vice show Bon Appetit. I wrote a book called How to Smoke Pot Properly. And as you are listening attests, I am the host of this podcast, Great Moments in Weed History, going strong on 5 years, more than 120 episodes. Most of them are about real great moments in real weed history. Everything from episode one, Willie Nelson smoked a joint on the roof of the White House, to episodes about your favorite musicians and artists and actors, but also our culture heroes of cannabis, our growers, our smugglers, our activists. So I invite you to please dig into that archive. But for today, we are going to try to do what they call a little public service of pulling in these questions from Reddit, and much appreciation to the community there, because when I read through the comments, I saw a lot of good advice. I did see a few. This may shock you to learn that not everybody who responds to a question on the internet in an online forum has accurate information to convey. So do be careful. There's a few potholes out there. Yes, we do actually love our weed puns here. One other note, as I am going through everything in my home, I am selling some old, fun, cool High Times merch, most from the glory era of my glory era, the 2000s to the 2010s. And I've got jars and posters and old magazines, hats, shirts, some cool stuff. If you're watching this right now, because you are a Patreon subscriber, I'm wearing a High Times Bong Hitters softball t-shirt that I wore as we played in Central Park in the media publishing softball league in New York City. And I've got bong hitters hats and lots of cool stuff. If you are at all interested in that, I am wheeling and going back to my youth. I am dealing. So make me an offer. Get in touch. info@greatmomentsinweedhistory.com. I will send you a link to what is available with pictures. And, you know, I am motivated to make a good deal as I do not want to move this stuff around with me anymore. Now, before we get into these questions from the Reddit Trees community, a couple of quick announcements. One, as always, I have to say a deep and very, very heartfelt thank you to the community that supports this podcast on Patreon. You can go to greatmomentsinweedhistory.com for more information on that. This is absolutely what is keeping this podcast going. I am completely independent. I am making this show by myself. This episode is a little what the kids call loosey-goosey, but every other episode involves quite a bit of research, finding guests, telling those stories, editing them, putting it up, social media posts, all the what ifs and what have yous of making a podcast, all in-house, all one person. Right now, you know, the big advertising checks are pretty few and far between. And so I'm relying on this community to throw in on this shit, man, whether that's $1 a month, whether you want to put $5 on it, or whether you want to get a cool perk like a signed copy of my book mailed right to you. Or like I said, hit me up, info@greatmomentsinweedhistory.com. Lots of merch ready to go. But for those of you who do and have been supporting the show, I actually forgot to thank you in the last episode. So I'm going to do it twice. The thanks. So nice. I'll do it twice. Thank you. Thank you for supporting authentic cannabis media and for helping me not just tell these stories, but share them with people all over the world. One final note. Please don't sleep on this. On April the 8th, a solar eclipse is going to happen throughout kind of the middle of the United States. You've got to be in the path of totality. I could just say I experienced this in 2017. It was one of the most mind-expanding, mind-blowing, visual, spiritual, overall cosmic experiences of my life. If you love weed, if you've maybe dabbled in some psychedelics, this is some next level shit. You don't have to break the law. You don't have to take anything into your body except the incredible phenomenon that happens when the moon blocks out the sun completely. Enough said on that. Just me sharing with you one of the coolest experiences I think you can have as a human on planet Earth. Check it out and see if you can get yourself there on April the 8th into the path of totality. All right, moving on. This is more fun than packing boxes, let me tell you. But we're going to get into these questions and answers after the theme song. I've personally just rolled up this nice little joint of weed that I found between the couch cushions. No. You know, as you might imagine, there's a lot of little jars of weed that collect at the old Casa de Bean. And so this is just basically some bonus weed that I found somewhere, and I am here for it. But I'm hearing that you, yes, you, yeah, can you believe it? I'm talking to you right now because you are talking to me, and you are telling me that you, that's not at all confusing, are not quite as lit as you would like to be to enter an episode called Everything You Ever Wanted to Know About Weed But Were Afraid to Ask, part two, the re-askinating. And that's cool, man, and an easily remedied situation, because all you have to do as ever is hit pause, and you can use that time at your leisure to roll yourself a joint, or to split a blunt, or to pack a bong or to endabulate a dab or to eat some edibles or to rub those topicals all over you or whatever it takes to get you where you want to be. Personally, I'm going to light this shit up right now, pre-theme song, because this is going to be a loosey-goosey weed smoking episode of the show. The one thing I can guarantee you is that when you hit unpause because you are ready, we'll all be ready for another
great moment in weed history.
You know, it's no exaggeration to say this podcast runs on coffee and weed. And lately, the coffee has been top shelf because of our new sponsor, Vigilante Coffee. I grind my beans daily, no pun intended, and I do the whole pretentious hipster pour over thing every morning. And I gotta say, I really enjoy thinking about where my coffee came from and how it was grown and processed, just like weed. And just like weed, it's worth it to get the best coffee you can afford. And the good news is, if you brew your own at home, really good coffee is an affordable luxury. That's why I'm thrilled to have Vigilante Coffee on the podcast and in my mug each and every morning. Vigilante is a specialty coffee roaster that sources their beans directly from small, award-winning farms around the world and then roasts them to perfection. They support ending the war on drugs, and they want to support this podcast too because they believe that all you really need is coffee and weed. Amen. So treat yourself to a bag of their Golden Bean Award-winning Dank blend, which has just returned for its fourth year. Dank is 80% Guatemalan and 20% Ethiopian. Brew that up nice and strong and pair it with a puff or two of good weed in the morning, and I guarantee you will be up and at them. To learn more or to order their amazing coffee, check out their website, vigilantecoffee.com, or you can visit one of their cafes. And if you buy a pound of those beans, well, please tell them Beans sent you. vigilantecoffee.com. All right, everybody, it's Bean. I am puffing away. I'm at Jay. You just heard me light up before the theme song. I'm feeling a little more relaxed. I'm feeling a little more lit. I'm feeling like I can just sort of ignore the impending doom of this deadline to move out and focus on something that I really, really love, which is trying to spread some knowledge and some wisdom to the extent that I have it with the cannabis community. I hope that my answers to these questions will be illuminating to the people who ask them and to everyone listening. I tried to come up with a mix of some fun stuff, some serious stuff, some kind of strange stuff. And I'm going to start with a very utilitarian question. Again, all of these come from the trees subreddit on Reddit. Question one. Hold on. Not stoned enough. Okay. Question one. Should I eat edibles first and then eat a fatty snack, or vice versa? I've been trying edibles after eating a fatty meal, and I noticed it'll kick in really slowly. Would edibles first before the fatty meal make it kick in faster? I feel like this is one of the questions where you almost know the answer, and the answer is yes, for a very simple reason. You know, your stomach is digesting the edibles, your stomach is digesting the food. If the food goes in first, your stomach's going to have to digest all of that food at the same time it is digesting the edibles. That's going to slow that process down. So instead of maybe a quicker onset and a shorter, more intense experience, you could have a slower onset and a longer, slightly less intense experience. Maybe that's what you're going for. But if you, like the asker of this question, want to have those edibles come correct, hit quickly, and maybe even kick off the munchies before the quote fatty snack that you're about to have, which I assume is like slang fatty and not food fatty, but you know, they're closely related anyway. The caution there is edibles on an empty stomach will hit harder. And one bit of advice, if you do feel yourself a little overdosing on the edibles, try to throw some food in there and see if you can slow that process down. Hope you have good luck with that, anonymous Redditor. Please keep us posted. Question two. And now we're into like some real stoner shit. And I gotta say, going through the Reddit trees, I've been on, you know, I've been a lurker for many, many years on there. I've done a couple of AMAs and stuff like that. I enjoy the community, but really scrolling deep into it, looking for these questions, you know, that I thought would be good for the show, it just gave me a great sort of vibe of like, you know, there's a lot of sort of newbies on there, people who are just discovering all of the pleasures and medicinal properties of cannabis, amazing insights into people who are, you know, dealing with weedy things that I dealt with when I was newer to cannabis quite a long time ago, but with the added change that, you know, in many places it's legal now. So it's sort of, if you've never been on Reddit trees, I definitely really recommend it. And it just gave me a good feeling. And this question really reminded me of being sort of new to weed in that incredible discovery phase and having these questions that seem sort of silly, but, you know, at least this person was brave enough to put it on an anonymous online forum. The question goes as follows. Why does the outside feel more, quote, outside when I'm high? It feels amazing. I can smell the air, and when I walk around, I feel like a kid exploring the outdoors for the first time, and it is absolutely beautiful. Can someone tell me why this is? Thank you, heart emoji. This is a person I would love to smoke weed with, assuming they are over 18. Or, you know, of legal age to not get me in trouble because they are getting high. More seriously, like that feeling of a return to a sort of childhood innocence is maybe one of the more beautiful parts about cannabis. It just takes you outside of sort of the mundane, and it takes you outside of, you know, ignoring all these beautiful parts of life that we are socialized, whether it's through school or through work or through religion or any kind of institution, to ignore our bliss, our joy, our wonderment at the beauty of nature in this specific example and so many other things. And there's also a sort of physiological explanation for this feeling. One of the things that cannabis does is, okay, if you are, you know, inundated constantly with all different kinds of sensory information, and if you were constantly processing every smell, every sound, every touch, every, you know, time the wind was imperceptibly brushing up against you, the world would feel chaotic and it would be almost impossible to function as a human being. You would just simply be constantly reacting to stimuli, something that people often say they do experience with cannabis. You know, many of the sort of stereotypes of like, why are you staring at your hand, or what makes a 36-minute Grateful Dead jam so enveloping, We're in another mind state, you might say, and forgive me, St. Jerry, get on with it! Anyway. So being in this state opens us back up to experiencing things as they actually are. You know, when you are out in the woods taking a walk and you light up a J, the woods don't change, you do. But really your perception of them do, your ability to take in the world in a new way and with fresh eyes. And I think this is also sort of related to cannabis as a creative tool, because if you are, say, working on the same piece of music and playing it over and over again and trying to add some new element to it, inevitably you are going to start to deaden in some way to the newness, to the vitality of what you're working on. But step away, take a few puffs, come back, and you might hear that in a new way and have some new insight into it. So I want to say thank you so much to the person who put this up, because it really reminded me that, you know, as somebody who don't want to shock anybody, smokes a pretty fair amount of weed, it's important to remember, you know, those earlier experiences and why we love weed so much and what we really want to get out of our relationship with this plant. And this question really reminded me of that. And I gotta say, I wish I could take a nice walk in the woods right now instead of going through boxes of old stuff that I cannot believe I've been lugging from place to place for so long. So thank you for that one. Okay, here's another more utilitarian question. The headline is edibles to pill dosage, ? I have been doing well on 25 milligrams of live rosin gummies and saw these THC pills at 25 milligrams for like $40. So I bought them. I took a 25 milligram pill and just got mildly high. Is the conversion between gummies and capsules not one to one? All right. This is a very interesting question, and I think something that can really, this is news you can use when shopping for cannabis. So 25 milligrams of THC is 25 milligrams of THC is 25 milligrams of THC, as Gertrude Stein might say. Go back and check out our episode about Gertrude Stein if you don't know what I'm referring to. But here's the thing. While THC is a specific compound, first of all, it can be the product of the cannabis plant. It can also be synthesized. So there is a prescription pill called Marinol that can be given to people for going through chemotherapy, for example. That is synthetic THC. And people say they have a very different experience of that than whole plant cannabis. Well, there's sort of something in between, which is distillate, which is a distillation of the cannabis plant. And pretty much almost every commercially available edible now is made with distillate. So instead of sort of the extraction method, the old school extraction method into a fat like butter or coconut oil, you know, the edibles you would have found 30 years ago on a Grateful Dead parking lot. They're pulling in every part of the plant into that butter, including, you know, a lot of chlorophyll, which is, you know, why some of those Grateful Dead parking lot brownies definitely tasted like, you know, lawn clippings. No offense, Cosmic Charlie. You know, they did the job. But then in the legalization era, in the early era, a lot of people were just using that same method, but some eggheads figured out that, you know, doing this distillation method, you could get it to sort of a powder. You could, you know, be very easy to regulate the dose. It is less expensive, less cumbersome, all of these advantages. But the one problem, and I, you know, if I can't be honest with you, who can? Nobody's Nobody's paying me to advertise distillate made edibles or anything else. The distillate shit just doesn't hit the same. And there's a lot of scientific reasons why, you know, what makes the cannabis plant interact with our human minds and bodies and brains is more than just THC and more than just THC and CBD. It's also terpenes and flavonoids, and there's this complex chemical entourage, in essence, that will come through when you're making canna butter, doesn't come through in distillate. But here in this question, when they say live rosin gummies, okay, that's a method of extraction that is going to have a much, much wider range of what's in the plant than these distillates. And I got to say, from my experience being a judge in the edibles category at the Emerald Cup, which is the most prestigious contest for cannabis in California, we tested, I've done it on several different years. So overall, tested hundreds and hundreds of different edibles. You can go back to an episode of this podcast called We Judged a Prestigious Weed Contest, if you want to hear what that whole process was like. But for the purposes of this question, what's important to know is you absolutely, in my opinion, and with science to back it up, and in the opinion of everyone on that edibles panel, which was composed of, you know, not just connoisseurs, but, you know, people who buy for dispensaries, edibles makers themselves who hadn't entered, you know, food experts, culinary experts, all agreed. So, you know, if you are lucky enough to live in a place with legal cannabis and you are lucky enough to be able to go to a dispensary and you are buying edibles, look for and ask for edibles made with live rosin, and you will have a very much better experience with those. If the dispensary that you're at does not carry them, look around at other dispensaries, and also make sure you ask them, because that's going to tell them that there's a demand for this much better product. Okay, these next two questions are kind of a piece, so I put them back to back, and it reminds me of another part about being a newer cannabis user, and even a younger one in my case for sure, is this lingering stigma. So here's the first of these questions. How to moderate intake, getting desperate. I have been smoking for almost 4 years now. When I started, a cart would last me almost 6 months, but now I'm going through them like nobody's business. One lasts me 2 or 3 weeks. The past couple of months, I've been trying really hard to moderate my intake, but I find myself making excuses for smoking after work or while cleaning, even though I wanted to wait. I guess it comes down to self-discipline, and I don't know how you guys can help with that, but I figured I might as well ask. All right, I'm going to take this one with the seriousness with which it was asked. You know, I'll probably throw in a dumb weed pun at some point. Cannabis is relatively safe. You know, when you're making comparisons to alcohol, tobacco, many pharmaceutical drugs, it is quite clearly very, very safe. Even when the National Institute of Health looked at things like dependency, they rated cannabis lower for dependency than coffee, caffeine. But that does not mean that people do not struggle with their use of cannabis. Any use that is not a net benefit to you, whether as a medicine, whether for fun, to relax, whatever your reason is, that's serious and that's real. And, you know, a lot of us have responded to this stigma by being like, fuck you. Everyone, smoke all the fucking weed I want. And that's cool, man, but it can also put up a little bit of a smoke screen. There's that weed pun. That prevents you from taking a hard look sometimes. You know, why am I waking baking? Why can't I say it right? Why am I waking and baking so much more frequently than I used to? How come cannabis is taking the edge off, but not really making me feel happy or relaxed? How come when I'm smoking, I'm feeling anxious all of a sudden? We need to be open to this conversation with ourselves all of the time, because to deny that cannabis has any potential harms or side effects or aspects that you might not find enjoyable is to deny the truth. And then that is not what this podcast is about. This podcast is about being honest about cannabis. And so that's all to say. And some people really, truly struggle with cannabis dependency, and they should do what they need to get help. It's also important to note that if you are going to struggle with your dependency on something, cannabis is a much, much better thing to have those struggles with than anything from alcohol to anger to, I would say, you know, getting lost online for 15 hours a day, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that all said, you know, what I read in this question is, you know, so when you started smoking a single cart, anybody who doesn't know, that's the part of a vape pen that has the little oil in it, would last this person 6 months. So they were very, very occasionally puffing on this pen, and they were kind of creating this relationship to cannabis, and each time felt very, very special, probably, and had new and fresh insights, and they would try pairing it with different things. Oh, what about before I eat? Oh, that's fucking amazing. What about before a little boudoir time? Ooh, that's pretty nice too. Gosh, that was a very stressful phone call. Puff. Ooh, that really relieved my stress. And now they're, this person reports, you know, one of these carts still lasting 2 to 3 weeks. So yeah, that's more consistent use, but you know, it's not the last scene from Scarface or anything. And so what I would say to this person maybe is, I think that you have just discovered that you really love weed, and that using weed doesn't fuck up your life, but you've still got some of this stigma inside you telling you that that's a bad thing, and that it was okay to sort of you know, every once in a while dabble in some weed, but that it's wrong or harmful necessarily to you have cannabis in your life on a regular basis. And you know, perhaps if you ask yourself that question, you will decide, yeah, this is not helping me. But I don't hear anything in this question that's an example of, oh, you know, because I am going through one vape cart every 2 to 3 weeks, I'm, you know, having trouble in my relationships, or I'm fucking up at work, or, you know, none of that is in this question. So I think it just may be having to let go of some of that propaganda and conditioning and stigma that we've all faced in this society, which has been so prone to lying about weed and putting people in a cage for possessing a beneficial medicinal plant. So I'm just going to say to this Redditor, it's good, man. Weed's good. I hope it's good for you. And please be open to the idea that this can just be a good thing and you don't have to feel guilty or bad about it. Gets to our next related question on this sort of stigma couplet, as we'll call it. And this one really drives home what I'm getting at. Once or twice a week, I get high during my last few hours at work and crank out my best work. How to stop feeling guilty about this? Last year, I was on a project for measuring the success of a product being developed. I spent a few weeks crafting up ideas from everyone that was working on the product on what they wanted to see measured and built. I made progress on creating a design and goal document, but none of it was all that convincing, and it was honestly boring. I then got high one night and cranked out an elegant and easy to read document that was relevant to engineers, managers, and leadership. I got feedback from managers that it was the best analytics document that they had ever seen at this company. And this isn't an isolated incident. Nearly all of my best work is done when I'm high. I, for some reason, feel bad about that, even though it's led to some career growth, which all in all makes my life easier. Less work stress, better income, probably something to do with it generally being frowned upon by others to be under the influence while working. All right. Lots to unpack here. The simple existence of this question really pulls up my heart because, you know, I always say that the two really important things in cannabis are not what your favorite strain is, or, you know, who's got the hype concentrates and what, you know, dab rig just came out. All of that is fun and interesting. You know, we have episodes of the show tracing the history of some of the legendary strains. I love it and find it fascinating. But the two things that are important and that we have to always come back to are, one, ending the arrests for cannabis that are racist and oppressive, and two, making sure that everyone who needs cannabis medicinally has access to it. And then the third really most important thing for me is that I think cannabis, and that gets to this question, is a pathway to creativity. It's not going to make you creative. You know, if you smoke some weed, watch a movie, sort of dissociate and disconnect, that could be really valuable weed time. Like, it is hard to truly sometimes get outside of ourselves and truly relax and truly, in a healthy way, dissociate. But, you know, after watching, you know, two reruns of Punky Brewster on Nick at Night, you're not going to look down and realize you also, you know, wrote a symphony. But if you are endeavored in the act of creativity and open to it and trying to either build those muscles or flex those muscles, cannabis can be an incredible aid to creativity. And I think for most people, myself included, living in this society, that is a crucial way to be in touch with our own humanity. You know, humans innately are creative, and so much of the modern world is designed to make us consumers, not creators, and to deaden the parts of ourselves that say, well, what if we make it ourselves? What if I do this? What if I spend my time creating? And to push us subtly and overtly towards being passive consumers. And so, you know, when we so in this example, what was this, you know, made me sort of, you know, shake my head is, here's this person, you know, clearly, somebody who works in a pretty traditionally square field as a data engineer, but it's a creative field. And here they are having insights into their job and being able to articulate those insights and getting, sometimes the sort of stereotype is that you think you're very creative when you're on weed, but, you know, the next day when you read back what you wrote, it's gibberish. Sometimes, but, you know, an unbelievably large number of successful artists and writers and musicians and filmmakers, would say, sometimes it's gibberish, but very often it is the pure gold, that you pan for when you are trying to be creative. And, you know, this person, not only did they have this breakthrough, but they're getting direct praise from their bosses. They're, getting a raise. And they're still like, why do I feel bad about this? Because the world fucking lied to you about weed. All right, let's clear out our little stigma section by we'll fumigate it. And we're going to go 180 degrees in the other direction right now. Again, all of these questions coming from the Trees subreddit. Anyone else feel like they're omniscient when stoned? Okay, so omniscient means you know everything. Not to be a know-it-all about being omniscient. I'm kind of new to weed. Oh, you think? No, I'm sorry. That was not good. I'm kind of new to weed, and my tolerance is very low. I get completely blasted off a third of a joint. But whenever I get stoned on a Friday night after university, I feel like I just see through stuff, whether it be people or recognizing things that people do in social situations. Even with self-reflection, I feel like I become more honest with myself, and I am able to evaluate stuff that's going well or bad in my life and fix it. Maybe my thoughts seem more incredible when I'm high.
Incredible thoughts, incredible minds.
But I feel like a flipping brain box when high. Weed, so much better than alcohol in every universe, too, by the way. All right. This is a beautiful thing to read because it, again, takes me back to these insights, and it's a very positive example of it. I think sometimes when people have a very negative experience with cannabis, it's for the same reason. It allows you to look at yourself, and sometimes you are able to see a problem that you didn't even realize you were having and see the way forward to change your course and alleviate that problem. Other times, you take a hard look at yourself and don't like what you see. And, you know, the way that cannabis allows us to process trauma, which is something that we see, you know, in studies of veterans with PTSD, for example, how cannabis can really help alleviate the symptoms of that post-traumatic stress disorder. Well, we've all experienced trauma in our lives. But what can happen sometimes is our brains, when we're high on cannabis, will go to those traumatic places because there is a protective force, a neuroprotectant. You know, cannabis is a known neuroprotectant. It is there is a government patent for it as such. A little bit off, not off topic, but you know. If you got to hit that back 30 seconds button a few times, let me know if that made sense. Taking another swing at it. Yeah, it gives you ability, going back to, you know, one of the earliest questions, it gives you an opportunity to perceive things in a new way. And that is going to give you these kinds of insights into yourself and others and life situations. You know, I think Bob Marley put it best when he said, "When you smoke herb, it reveals you to yourself." Now, if you do have that experience where you smoke some herb and it reveals you to yourself and you don't like what is revealed, that's not the herb's fault. It's doing you a solid, you know. Some of us have a good friend in our lives who is going to be in our corner and tell us we're great no matter what, and that's a good friend. But weed is a great friend, and a great friend is the friend who will tell you, "Hey, you're fucking up and your shit stinks." And if I can find it, there is an incredible scene with the inimitable Larry David having that exact experience that I could think of right now, that I'll splice in.
"You got your father-in-law's birthday coming up? You gonna get a card?
Okay.
You're not gonna get a card. You're not gonna do a fucking thing.
I'll try and do better. I will.
TV, TV, TV. That's what you like to do. Read a fucking book.
Okay, yeah, you're right. You know everything.
Who the fuck do you think you're talking to?"
Which leads directly to our next question. Very simple one. Why do I cry uncontrollably when I'm high? I cry for like every second and randomly vent to people. Why? I never open up to anyone about my problems, only whenever I'm high and it happens unexpectedly. Same answer, different question. And just think about how powerful an experience that is. You know, this person, and it pains me to read that, you know, feels that they must keep all of their thoughts and feelings and their authentic self bottled up because in some way they've been made to feel that they are not worthy of something, whether it's compassion or love or belonging. And there's something in that experience of being high that is whispering in their ear, yes, you are worthy of love or compassion or belonging, but you've got to ask for it. You've got to reach out for it. You've got to do what seems painful or frightening. That's a powerful message and can be a really difficult one. And I would just say to this person, you know, take a comprehensive approach to addressing the things that come up when you're high and take note of what you're really upset about and take steps to work on that, whether that's, you know, with a therapist or, you know, whatever you see fit. But these insights that we have are real insights. Okay, another one. I need a tea break, by which it means a tolerance break. I've been needing to go on a tolerance break, and I was wondering if it would be better to stop cold turkey or if I should ease into it. Great question. Really important area. As I was saying before, you know, people, anybody listening to this podcast and this episode of this podcast for this long, loves weed. That doesn't mean, of course, that we don't need to, it's good to take a tolerance break from almost everything you love, whether that is ice cream or, masturbation. and weed is no exception. And so I would say if you can ease into a tolerance break, that's the best way to get into something. It's right there in the name. It's going to be easy because whatever discomfort you might feel, for me, when I take a tolerance break, which is when I go to visit my mom, basically, and some other times, it affects me in that I might have some trouble sleeping. I might not have the best appetite or, you know, even sometimes like a little trouble with digestion, et cetera. You know, nothing too extreme. But whatever you're going to experience, a little boredom, if you can just sort of slowly lower your dose until you get down to tolerance break zero, it's going to go easier for you. If that is not working for you, then cold turkey is not like it's the warmest cold turkey out there. Cold turkeying weed is, not the cold turkey you're thinking of, if whatever you experience, that's only going to be a couple of days. And, I find a nice 5 or 6 day break from weed just kind of resets the endocannabinoid system. And watch out on that first puff back from a tea break, because you are going to be a teenager behind the Dairy Queen high, which is, one of the best reasons to take a tolerance break, in my opinion. All right, here's the last one from all of our questions. Cold or trimmed or clipped or cloned from the trees subreddit. I hate smoking alone. I don't really enjoy smoking by myself. I prefer to smoke with people, but I don't really have stoner friends, and I don't know how to go about making them. So this is pretty close to my heart. I could be a little bit of a loner stoner, actually, or the avoidant type, or I'm working on it. And you'd never know. I've got decent social skills, but I'm somebody who cherishes my alone time, and I really like smoking weed alone sometimes. But I get where this person is coming from. You know, that experience can be really less than ideal, especially you know, if you are, you know, wanting more social interaction in general. So I'm going to address that part first. Wherever you live, there's groups, you know, of people who love cannabis. If you are in a prohibition place, those are going to be activists, the people who are trying to bring on the legalization of cannabis. And they would love your help and they would welcome you in. And of course, being in a prohibition state, you got to be cool about things. You know, because it's going to be by definition illegal in a prohibition state, but you will find weed people. Let me put it that way. You will find weed community. And I would say, in my experience, you will find the best of the weed community when you are actively engaged with activists. If you live in a place where, you know, there's the free 5 o'clock weed giveaway, go to the free 5 o'clock weed giveaway, or, you know, try to, maybe try to get a job at a dispensary if you like that idea better than the job you have, or go to a local event, whether it's a sesh or an industry event, or, you know, you'll find it. You'll find the weed community anywhere in the world. If you hear reggae playing, the weed community is not far away. That works all over the world, but believe me, that's the way to expand your smoking circle. And in the meantime, I will invite you to consider this community your virtual sesh. Some of my favorite emails, or the most touching emails I've gotten from people who listen to this podcast, include those from people who, because of the circumstances of their life, have this love for weed, maybe even a newfound love for weed, and they're trying to learn everything they can about it, but it's still a secret that they have to keep so tightly held, because they could be arrested, because they could have a family member, you know, kick them out of the house or disown them, or, you know, these serious, serious threats. And, you know, have gotten several of these emails from people saying, you know, I can listen to this show. And, you know, for anyone new to the show, it is always an interview show usually. So there's two people talking, two people who love weed, me talking to people who have played a role in cannabis history, or who are expert in some aspect of cannabis, and that they can sort of let that be their sesh until they find that IRL weed community. And that is such an honor, and something that I do not take lightly. And everybody who listens to the show and reaches out to me, I cherish that, and I respond to every message, and I've made a lot of really cool friends that way. And to anyone who supports this show on Patreon, especially, it makes it a true community. I cannot do this by myself. I need that support. I need that encouragement. I need that financial support. And I need to know that there's beautiful people listening to this who care enough about it to throw in on it. So if you want to get in on that, I can go to greatmomentsinweedhistory.com. We also do a secret sesh on there every other week, where I talk to somebody from the Patreon community and we just get lit and chop it up. So I invite you to do that as well. So want to buy some some old High Times, Weed, Fun, Merch. Hit me up, info@greatmomentsinweedhistory.com. If you maybe want to support this program, you can go to greatmomentsinweedhistory.com and throw it on that shit. Thank you. I hope that this was a fun and maybe enlightening episode. I'm going to give it a light edit, but I also appreciate all of you who come here for history, bearing with me while I try to get through this move. Our next episode is going to be some deep, deep weed history. And, you know, there's about 125 episodes in the feed, so you probably haven't heard them all. Thank you so much. Next stop, Potland, Oregon. Well, that's the show, folks. Thanks so much for listening. And if you stuck around this long, please consider supporting us on Patreon. You could put $5 on it at greatmomentsinweedhistory.com. And that would really help us as we research, write, edit, and publish a new episode every Wednesday. Great Moments in Weed History is written, produced, and performed by me, David Bienenstock, a.k.a. Bean. Special thanks to our sponsor, PAX. Go to PAX.com and use promo code GREATMOMENTS, all one word, for a big discount at checkout.